Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by my better half and frequent co-collaborator, Miss JGL. You know her, Jennifer Grace Luttrell.
Hello.
Jen, how are you?
I'm great.
You feel we're coming off hot, the 300th episode.
Oh, exciting.
This is 301.
Very exciting.
Yeah. How long do you think it'll go?
A million.
You think so?
I don't know how...
Can a person live that long?
I was going to say...
That's a dumb question.
I don't know how numbers and years work and episodes and weeks. Who knows?
I'm
going to say a million.
How
many weeks are in a lifetime?
Well, the average life's like, what, 80? So how many weeks are in 80? Well, what's 80 times 52?
Who could know?
I'm going to do that math right now. I'm going to do it right now, right here on the air.
Like talking Barbie.
52 times...
Like talking Barbie. Math 80. Is hard. Math is
4,
tough.
4,000... No. We can't get to a million. That's stupid. We could get into the thousands, though. You know, one time I did the math on how many books I could read in my life, and it made me sad.
Because you didn't read that many books?
No, I read a lot of books, but I was like, oh, you know, before I die, I could read millions of books. But then I realized that's actually impossible. Like, even if I read a book a week, it's around the number I just gave you, like 4,000. And isn't that sad?
No.
And I also didn't. That's if you start reading a book a week at zero, mm-hmm. which I did not start. I started at like 30. So no matter how hard I read and how fast I read,
you'll never get to a million.
This is a side note, but okay. You ever see one of these movies, one of these science fiction programs where somebody's like a super genius and they like read by like just turning the pages and like does that ever make you jelly?
A little. People with a photographic memory photographic
yeah
memory can do that. I had a
Judy Garland had a photographic memory.
Did she?
Yes. She would just read the script once and then be able to do it.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. They probably beat that into her at a young age.
I'm sure. No, but also I had a friend whose like dad had a photographic memory, and she said he used to like read things by mistake because he would just look at the page
and then later
and he
on,
wouldn't
he'd
mean
like,
to read it. Right.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? Because he's like literally it's just like it's almost like taking a picture.
Right. Reading things by mistake.
Yeah.
It takes so much effort for me to read something. I never do it by mistake.
Me too.
That's like when people are like, oh, I forgot to eat today. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. All I'm ever doing in my brain computer, the subsystem that's always going is, where's the next meal?
One time I went to my sister's house. She lives in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And she has like a really, she lives in like a community that has a really fancy pool. Mm-hmm. And we were at the pool and I was like, it's lunchtime. And she was like, well, we can skip lunch. And I was like, I don't skip lunch.
Yeah.
And then I never went back.
That's like the that's the sketch from fucking Tim Robinson where you haven't seen that show, but he's like, it's lunchtime. And someone's like, oh, we're having an emergency meeting. And he's like, what? And then he tries to eat. He puts a hot dog up his sleeve and tries to like eat it secretly. And they're like, why is your head down? He's like, oh, I'm so tired. And then he starts choking on the hot dog. And he's like, we can't skip lunch.
Yeah.
You can't skip lunch. First of all, if you want to skip lunch, tell me ahead of time.
I know.
That can't be just a decision we make.
No, I know. I know. And at the pool, you're in the sun, you're swimming, you're using energy. Yeah. Come on.
I come from an Italian family where, like, if you go out for, like, an hour, you bring, like, a couple muffins just in case.
She came from the same Italian family. I don't know what's wrong with her. Well, not the same family. We're not related, but.
You want to talk shit about her? You think your sister listens to this show ever?
No, I love her dearly. I don't know.
She definitely doesn't.
She definitely doesn't, but she does support on the Instagram.
She knows it. She thinks of it probably as my Instagram. And she's like, I don't know why his Instagram is called Pop Culture Man Children. I'm not going to ask about it.
We love her dearly.
Yeah, we'll talk about it over Christmas. All right, so this is... Oh, I'm so excited for this episode. This is Barbie.
Oh, so freaking good.
Sometimes referred to as Barbie the movie, but not always.
No, not always.
In the movie, it just says Barbie.
Barbie, right.
In some of the marking, it says Barbie the movie. Not the Barbie movie.
Right.
Barbie.
Right. The movie.
The movie.
It's not like the Lego movie.
Like Superman, the movie.
Yep.
We are going to spoil it.
Oh, yes. Spoiler alert now. Get out.
Yeah, we're going to spoil every fucking little thing about it, so...
Get out.
if you want us to convince you to see it, then listen. But if you want to see it and you haven't heard it yet, then maybe save this and listen to it on the way home from seeing it.
Yeah,
and
go
then
see
you could,
it.
You could nod along and be like, I agree with all your points. You guys make such salient points.
Yeah,
I do feel that way.
I didn't think of that. I have to go see it again now.
Oh, wow. These guys are so... I love this podcast. It's so good. I got to share with my friends and neighbors.
Yep.
So, the Barbie movie, well, gosh, where does one begin?
It's perfection.
Okay, Jen. Yes,
it's perfection. The perfect movie.
It is the perfect movie to you.
It's the perfect movie.
So, we're in a weird place because you're... On a scale from 1 to 10, you're like an 11 or 12.
Oh, love it so much.
And I'm like at a 7.5, 8. I think it's a good, good movie. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I might even love it. We've seen it twice. And the first time I had more trouble with it because I was kind of like, well, there's something missing, which is I'm not, you know... I was saying this the other day because I was afraid that you'd break up with me if I told you I didn't love it as much as you. I had to like sit you down and like be like, Jen, let's talk about Barbie and how we both feel about it and see if we can keep going on as a couple.
We made it. Yeah. It was tough, but we made it.
We made it. I'd say it's 80% a good movie and 20% doesn't work. But
that's wrong. Right, it all works.
But that 20% is made up with the pleasure of nostalgia, which makes it work 100% for people. But I don't have that nostalgia because I grew up, I didn't play with Barbies when I was a kid. But, you know, I think it's important for a critic, and I'll call myself a critic. I don't give a fuck. I don't care if that sounds pretentious. It's important for a critic, especially one who's white and in their middle age, to accept that things are not always for them and that they shouldn't be for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've come on here and talked about things like Ghostbusters Afterlife glowingly. Mm-hmm. But really, if I had no Ghostbusters nostalgia and it was just Afterlife, I'd be like, this is a middling movie. Mm-hmm. It's okay. I don't think it's bad, but I wouldn't be like, oh, Ghostbusters Afterlife is great. That 20% of you loving Ghostbusters already really drags that thing over the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a new Ninja Turtles movie coming out. We're going to see it next Saturday in an early preview. And I'm probably going to come out going, that's the greatest movie ever. And you might not because you don't have those. Hey, for the listeners right now, why don't you name all the Ninja Turtles and their colors?
No, I hate it. It makes my pit sweat. Yeah. You make me nervous.
I'm not a gatekeeper, but sometimes just randomly.
No, he is.
I'm not. Just sometimes randomly I'll ask you to name the Ninja Turtles and the color they're associated with. And it makes your pit sweat.
I don't like the pop quizzes in our relationship.
Well, at this point, we've seen the original one together in the theater.
I know. I'm just saying. You do it a lot.
I feel like you should know it at this point.
I know. I'm just saying. It's not just Ninja Turtles.
Who's
you
orange,
do it a
though?
Lot. Michelangelo.
There you go. See? She's a keeper, folks. No. So anyway. But you had said to me when the Ninja Turtles and Barbie trailer were out simultaneously, you said, this is my Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know what else I think it is?
Yeah.
But yes, you didn't grow up playing with Barbies, and I think that would have helped. But it's also like very, it really understands like female relationships, which also you didn't grow up.
No, right.
So.
But you know what I kept thinking about?
It's just like women. It just get like women exclamation point should have been the marketing. It's just like
yeah.
She just gets it.
And gay men,
right? Yeah.
Anyone who played with Barbies as a kid.
Yes, but
no, of course, because when they get into the real commentary about the contradictions that you have to be a woman. You have to be strong but not seem scary. You have to be beautiful but not look like you're trying too hard. Those are things that men don't know.
I also think when they're doing their like brilliant things, but they're also hyping people up. Like, yes, also gay men, but I think that's such like a uniquely like female thing.
Yeah.
To be brilliant but also be hyped.
Mm-hmm.
You don't often see that.
Yeah.
In male relationships, at least the way it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's all of it. I was just like, yes, that's not something I thought about. But yes, that is.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That is an experience. We have like good, bad, and in between. Oh, it's just so great. It's so great.
What I kept thinking about when I watched it was one of your picks for the time capsule in last week's 300th episode, because you would put Powerpuff Girls.
Yes.
And you had said that you think Powerpuff Girls had a huge influence on millennial humor.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel a lot of that in the Barbie movie.
Yeah, with the narration. A lot of it comes from the narration.
Right. The movie is narrated by Helen Mirren.
Brilliant.
And she pops back up throughout the movie.
Yes.
One of the funniest bits is there's a scene where Margot Robbie's crying and she essentially has no makeup on, but she has she has stage makeup on.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm ugly. And then what is
she? Helen Mirren's like, a note for the
filmmakers.
Yeah, Margot Robbie is not the right person to cast if you want to make this point. Which also everyone
loved.
Yes. Yeah. But I also thought that was like also a nod to the fact that it was supposed to be
at some point it was Amy Schumer.
Yes, Amy Schumer.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I don't know if it was the same script.
No, I know, but I'm just saying I feel like right away I was like, oh my God, that's because it was supposed to be Amy Schumer.
Right. Well, the movie is all about
and like, that would have been a great line for Amy Schumer.
Yes. Like, yeah. Right, right. Because
she's pretty, but she's like normal people pretty, whereas like Margot Robbie is like Barbie.
She's right. When we heard she was gonna be Barbie, everyone was like, Yes, of course.
Right.
Well, what's interesting, the movie has like the Barbie land with all the different Barbies.
Oh my God.
But she calls herself stereotypical Barbie. She does. That's her name. She's like, I'm the Barbie you think of when you think of Barbie.
Yeah.
And I think that they had to do that. Probably Mattel made them do that.
Right.
But as a way of doing that, but still commenting on itself, there's a few lines in the movie that kind of mock why it seems to be about diversity and...
Yeah.
Right? Because there's a great line where Margot Robbie, like, at the end is like, we're going to do this and do that. And then one of the characters is like, yeah, we're going to go white savior Barbie. Which is really funny.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, but going back to what I was saying, like, Helen Mirren is throughout the whole thing making funny comments.
Yeah.
And what a perfect person, right? Because she's a iconic actress.
She is. She's got just like a great voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
To do voiceovers.
Yeah. I guess Dame Judi Dench was busy.
I know.
The film begins basically with what was the original teaser trailer, which was a parody of the beginning of 2001.
Yep.
Which is funny because I think this movie's already making a ton of money, and I think kids will see it. A lot of it will go over their heads, but kids will still want to see it and enjoy it on their own level.
Right.
But that's such a, what a, right out of the gate, that's a real challenge for a kid.
Yeah.
What kid fucking has seen 2001? What person has seen 2001 besides like film nerds? And, but it is, it's really brilliant.
I think you get it. I don't think you're going to get that it's a 2001, but you're going to get the importance that
baby dolls is all they had.
Something big is happening.
Right. Because they show like little girls out in the wilderness, like the apes in 2001, and they're just playing with baby dolls.
Right.
And Helen Mirren's narrating. They're playing at domestic things. Yeah.
Right. And Helen Mirren's narrating over it.
All they had to do is play with baby dolls, and that's fun for a while. Ask your mother.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
And then
Barbie shows up and she's huge and she's wearing, I think, her first outfit or her first beach outfit.
Yeah, I think that's her first outfit.
Yeah. And the little girl, there's a cute little girl who I said that's you as a child because she's this little blonde girl with glasses.
Yeah.
She like takes her baby dolls and destroys them. Kind of like the ape does with the femur or whatever he has. And then in 2001, he throws it up in the air and then it cuts to like a graphic match of the femur, then becomes the spaceship. And this, the baby doll in the air turns into the Barbie logo.
Did you also notice that, like, when they're touching, the little girls are, like, touching her leg for the first time?
Yeah.
It's, like, Barbie leg.
Yeah, it's plastic. Yeah.
And her toes are plastic.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I think they did a good job with what is and what isn't plastic. You sent me a TikTok, which I wasn't able to watch the whole thing of, because I was at the gym and there wasn't good connection. But it was a guy who, he worked on both Oppenheimer and Oppenheimer, right?
Yeah.
And he said that Mattel really wanted them to have stiff hands.
Yeah. Oh, what do you call it? He called it something. I forget.
Paddle hands.
That's it.
Yeah. Kind of like the Lego movie.
Yeah. He wanted, because that's what Barbie has. She has paddle hands.
I'm glad they didn't do that.
No. Yeah. Well, Greta Gerwig didn't want it, but they were like, please, let's try it. So they tried it. And
it would have been terrible.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been great.
Yeah.
But
the feet is enough. The having the feet on tiptoes.
Yes.
And I love the joke when Barbie starts to like we'll get into the plot, but when Barbie like starts to I guess be more like a real person.
Yeah.
Her feet flat, and she starts wearing heels, and she goes, I would never wear these if I had flat feet.
Yeah.
Which is such a funny commentary of, like, why would anybody... We all have flat feet. Why would we... Why would anyone wear heels if not...
Right.
To, you know, make your butt look whatever, and or patriarchal or bullshit. Style, yeah, or, I mean, not that every person consciously is doing that, but the patriarchal style of it is this sort of feminine ideal.
Right.
So it's so funny. She was like, it would make no sense to wear high heels unless you had tiptoe feet. Yeah, so the plot, I think one way to describe the plot very simply is it's about Barbie becoming a real woman.
Yeah.
It's like almost like a Pinocchio story.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also a story of like a story of womanhood, even though she is a fully grown woman.
Yeah.
But
She's not. She's in this fantasy world.
Yeah.
And she, it's about her becoming, and part of that is understanding. It reminded me almost a little bit of like Inside Out, where the little girl realizes that like having sad memories is part of being.
Right. Yeah. It's part of being human.
Right. Like Margot Robbie, she cries a lot when she's turning human. But then she sort of stops crying and she realizes like that it's just complicated to be a human, but she wants to be a human.
Right.
So stepping back before we get into the story, let's talk about nostalgia. What is your history with Barbie? Did you always have Barbies? Do you remember your first Barbies?
Yeah. I don't know if I remember my first Barbie, but because I also had a sister. I have a sister.
Skipper?
Yeah. No. Yeah, we've always had Barbie. I've had my own like whatever was current at the time Barbies. I had her Barbies, and I had like my, I don't know if it would have been my grandmother's Barbies, but I had like an older cousin's Barbies like this big like cool box that you kept all her clothes in. So like our Barbies have like gone through the generations.
Yeah, wow.
Maybe
did you have any of those really expensive Christmas Barbies?
My sister did. The schmancy ones? And she wouldn't take them. She still gets them. My sister.
Good for her.
But she won't take them out of the box.
But their boxes are so nice.
I know, but now she gets them. Well, I don't know. She's probably getting too old for them now. Maybe not too old.
It's a cool thing to collect, especially if you have been collecting them.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, no, she got them.
Do you have a favorite Barbie?
Yeah. It's not Barbie, though. It's Teen Skipper, which I think was the response to Growing Up Skipper. The better response to Growing Up Skipper.
Tell us about Growing Up Skipper.
Growing Up Skipper. What era was she from? I forget. The 70s maybe?
Yeah.
So Skipper.
Created by men, not women in the company.
Right. But Skipper was always, I guess, preteen. And I guess to bring her into adulthood, they wanted to, if you like twisted her arm around, she would grow taller and grow boobs.
No, not even taller. Just
no, she'd grow taller.
I thought she just
she grew
boobs.
A little taller.
Okay.
And grew boobs.
And she was discontinued because people hated it.
Yeah, because it's weird.
And she's in the movie.
Yeah.
There's a scene towards the end where you meet a bunch of discontinued Barbies, and they're all real.
Yeah.
And growing America up Ferrara, who's great in this movie.
Oh, she's so good.
Sees her, and she's like she wears a metal, and she's like a Barbie head, and she's like, "Oh my God, may I?" And
yeah.
Skipper's like, "Okay," and then she like twists her arm around, and her boobs grow.
Also, I thought it during the movie, and I was like, oh, I have to look this up. There's a point where the dad says, I'm going to butcher this. I'm sorry, I don't speak Spanish. But where he says, si se puede, and they're like, they like all like shit on him because you're not supposed to say that.
They say it's cultural appropriation.
Yeah, but dude, that's from Gotta Kick It Up, and she's in that, which was a Disney Channel movie. And that was like their anthem, and that's the only amount of Spanish that like anyone in the 2000s knew for a little bit, if you were a girl.
Interesting.
I was like, oh my God, that's what it's from. But then I was like, no, is she in that? I can't remember. And she wasn't that. And I was like, yes,
America?
That's definitely, oh. It's gotta be a nod to that.
It's interesting.
But anyway, I was very excited about it.
It's interesting because the father's white, but we never see him speak English, right?
We don't. He's always doing Duolingo and like trying to perfect it.
Yeah,
it's
so
really funny, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like badly.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like speaking badly.
Yeah,
they
then
correct
he smiles
him.
Like he did good. yeah. What Barbies do you currently own? I know one.
Yeah, I have you got me Teen Skipper because I cannot find her.
Yes.
I have a Doctor Who Barbie.
I have the same one.
I think they're in the basement now. I had both Mary-Kate and Ashley Barbies because I had to.
Did they come together?
Yeah. No, probably not, scumbags. Because that would have made more money if they didn't.
Sure. You're forgetting a big one. Do you believe in life after love?
Oh, I have the Cher Barbie. Oh, I also have a Dorothy Barbie.
Is that officially Barbie, though?
Yes. I was determined at the Toys R Us in Times Square is the only place I saw them sold.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, it came out when I was like in college, and it was just like, I wasn't comfortable driving to the city, so I wasn't driving there, but it was just like a pain to get there, to get all of them, and I didn't have enough money to get them all at once. But I was determined to get every Barbie in that collection, and mm-hmm. I only have the one. But they're like so...
hard to find?
They're so pretty, and they're just like nice looking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I do have the Dorothy Barbie, and I haven't taken her out of her box, but I love her so much. I love her so much. Mm. But they had all of them. They even had, I think Kelly was the littlest sister, as like the munchkin. Oh, it's so cute. Anyway.
I have the Doctor Who Barbie. It's the female doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only Barbie I have. I have some for a little while, I think in 2016, 2017, Disney was trying, like, I guess to sell more, or Hasbro was trying to sell more to females. So they did like a Star Wars line of dolls.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Leia, Ahsoka, Rey, just all the female characters. And I have Rey with BB-8. And Leia with R2-D2. So those are the only dollies I have.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
So if you've seen the trailers, you know the story of the film. Begins in Barbie Land.
Mm-hmm. Which is, oh my God, she got perfect.
Yes.
She got it perfect. All the houses
mm-hmm.
don't have walls.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
She's been doing a lot. Greta Gerwig is the director of the movie. She's been talking a lot in interviews about like what inspired her, and a lot of it's like Wizard of Oz and stuff like that, and classic MGM movies. And she really, those films are great because they had this, a lot of, they were all sets and they were all built.
Mm-hmm.
So it has that, but it leans into the artifice even more because you can see that things are plastic and they're supposed to be plastic. Like even when we're on the beach, like it's plastic. Yeah, it's not
everything's
sand.
Plastic.
But it looks so pink and gorgeous, and they layer the pinks as like light pink and pale pink.
Yeah.
And
then like it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. You can see it has great depth of field. Yeah. It just really is a gorgeous looking movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just like all, if you played with Barbies, you're just like, yeah, that's not something I even thought of, but yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly, all of it is exactly right.
Right. Like she takes a shower and there's no real water.
Yeah. You don't put your bar. Well, I got some of the narration, which I love, but some of it I wish they hadn't. Like there's a part when we saw the trailer and she's coming off the roof. I said to you, "Oh my God, that's because you never take your Barbie down the stairs. You always place her." And then that's like a narration in the movie, which I kind of wish it wasn't, because it I feel like that's so obvious to people that have played with it.
It wasn't obvious to me though.
Yeah, I know. Maybe that's why.
But no, I think it would have been cooler if they just would like...
Yeah, they just did it.
Yeah.
But...
And they live in kind of a perfect world, but a little bit like the Lego movie thing, like nothing ever changes.
Right.
Like every day is exactly the same. Every day begins with Barbie wakes up and every Barbie says hello to each other. And it's all like kind of narrated by a song
by Lizzo, which is perfect,
called Pink.
Oh, it's so good.
And like as she's singing, like the things she's singing are happening.
Yeah.
And all the Barbies say hello. And then what do they do? Then they all go to the beach.
Right.
And then at night there's a party. Yeah, she gets dressed.
And that's like just like her looking at her clothes and then magically dressed.
Right.
Which is so good. And she even like does like a... Which I don't know if it's... I need to watch it one more time. I was trying to look out for it this time, but this theater was so freaking cold that I couldn't think.
Uh-huh.
But there's like sparkles that happen every so often. And I think it's when like someone does something with the doll. Like the sparkles happen when her clothes magically come on. And I think that's like someone in the real world changing her clothes.
Right.
Or like there's like sparkles that happen when Ken flips over a bunch. And I think that's someone like... turning him.
Yeah.
I think. Right. I don't know. Or maybe it's not. And I'm thinking too much into it.
No, no, no. That makes a lot of sense.
Because they don't always happen.
Right. When America Ferrera and her daughter are brought into the Barbie world, the daughter goes, so do big giant hands come in and move you around? And Barbie's like, no, that's weird. Of course not. Although it would make total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, Barbie starts to like get depressed. You've seen in the trailer where they're all dancing and she's like,
Do you guys ever think about death? Yeah. Oh no, do you guys ever think about dying?
And everyone's like, what? By the way, that whole dance scene is incredible. God. Talk about MGM.
So good.
It's so beautifully choreographed and I love the song. The Dua Lipa song.
Yeah.
It's called Into the Night. What is it called?
I forget.
I'll look at my Spotify because I have been listening to it. Dance the Night.
Yeah.
Dance the Night Away. Yeah, and that also is used as like the score.
Right.
It's Dua Lipa, right?
It is.
Because if I say it wrong, I'm going to sound like an old man.
Yep.
So Duolingo has this song called Dance the Night. And it's incredible. And all the Barbies are there. And she says the thing about death. And then she goes to bed. She's like, I'm definitely not thinking about death, everybody.
Yeah.
And then the next day, her feet are flat, and she doesn't know how to walk on the flat feet. And then they realize, like, she tells the other Barbies, and they're like, oh, you're malfunctioning.
Yeah. You have to go see Weird Barbie.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't want to go see Weird Barbie.
She's so weird.
And Weird Barbie is Kate McKinnon.
Who apparently was really good at paddle hands.
That makes sense to me.
She had perfect paddle hands. She never broke.
She's fantastic. No, she even walks like a Barbie. Yeah. Like she really gets into the physicality of it.
Yeah.
She's also always doing the splits because they make a joke as Weird Barbie's always in the splits.
Because you like destroy your Weird Barbie.
Right. Well, they do like they go a Barbie becomes weird from playing with it too hard.
Yeah.
And then they do like a cut scene of like a little girl and the Spice Girls are playing in the background and she's like burning the hair and using crayon on its face.
Yeah. So, I've never burned my Barbie's hair, but every person that's played with a Barbie has tried their hand at being a hairdresser. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like.
And then you keep going because you messed up and then it's not even. And then all of a sudden she's got a buzz cut. And you know what? Respect. She still looks good.
The most famous Weird Barbie is the one that Angelica had in Rugrats.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah.
She like had just a few like strains
of
hair left.
Cecilia, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Weird Barbie's like this mage. Like Weird Barbie understands how the rules of their world work. And this is where, to be a stickler, this is where I think some of the problems are. Because the rules don't totally, the logic of the movie doesn't totally make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it is better to just shut your brain off and not think about it.
But well, they say that kind of.
Yeah, she does say it. But the problem is that they lean on to the rules too much. Like, If you know you don't make sense, just be vague and silly.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like the movie tries to get you to buy into it and track along what's happening with the rules, but it doesn't totally make sense. Like Weird Barbie tells Barbie, a stereotypical Barbie, Margot Robbie, that every girl, basically you're connected to a girl in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, like, however she plays with you reflects how you feel, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And since Barbie's thinking about death, it means that somebody in the world is sad or thinking about death. And she has to go and find that person. And a rift has been created in like the fabric between their worlds. And she has to go and find that girl.
And mend it.
But I'm sorry. And I do apologize because it's like, why pull at this thread, but like she's the only stereotypical Barbie we see. Like, so why is she only like, why is she feeling what, like the person ends up not being a little girl, it's America Ferrera, mm-hmm. a woman. So like why does America Ferrera's feelings affecting stereotypical Barbie, like if it is one girl to one doll, mm-hmm. why isn't Barbie World filled with a bunch of Margot Robbie Barbies? And also, If they don't feel complicated feelings until someone playing with them feels complicated feelings, why does Ken seem to, from the very get-go, have complicated mm-hmm. feelings? Because from the very first time we meet Ken, he wants Barbie's attention so badly, and he loves her, and she doesn't mm-hmm. really care about him, and he doesn't seem happy with his lot in life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to answer these questions. I'm just pointing out that there's a lot of inconsistencies in it, which is fine, but as the plot goes on, those inconsistencies compound, and you're kind of like, I'm not sure why what's mm-hmm. happening is happening.
At least for me.
Yeah.
It's all right. So.
I think they kind of sort of, the multiples of the same Barbie, I think they kind of sort of get at with Alan, because later in the movie, Alan's like, no one would care if an Alan got out. Alans have gotten out before, like they're Olive and Sink
or Alans.
Even that one.
Right. That's true.
So maybe, but there's only ever one of each. So maybe it's just like one at a time, or there's like multiple, you know, maybe that's just the grouping together and there's another Barbie Land with another group. Like,
okay, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I think they kind of got at that.
Okay.
When they gave that line to Alan. But, you know, that's fine.
So Barbie
comes still a perfect movie. Yeah.
So Barbie comes into the real world, and there's a lot of fun stuff. Like, you know, you've seen in the trailer, like they're dressed like they're matching,
like roller skating Barbie.
Yeah, and then Manor catcalling her.
Was that a real outfit? Because I distinctly remember that outfit. I don't know. Yeah, a lot of it's like, was that real or am I just like
some of it's directly from what I understand. Yeah. Some of it's directly lifted from outfits, and then some are like interpretations,
right,
or amalgamations of things put together.
Right. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Apparently, I think only her very first house was called the Dream House, and the rest weren't called specifically Dream House.
But you always just call it that.
We all culturally call it her Dream House, so she calls it her
Dream
House.
Like a Xerox? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like there are little things like that in the movie that are like, this is what you... Like, I didn't realize this until I read it. Barbie being pink and the logo being pink and mm-hmm. pink being associated with Barbie only started in the 90s. Mm-hmm. From the 50s, 60s, and 70s, Barbie was a lot of different bright colors. Mm-hmm. And her box was sometimes yellow and red or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we think of, people pink. Our age think of pink as Barbie. So that's what this movie goes with. Mm-hmm. Barbie's world is entirely pink, which wasn't always true.
Yeah.
One of the criticisms of this movie, which I understand, but I'm okay with, is that it can be very heavy-handed. Like, it spoon-feeds you its commentary. And mm-hmm. it has a lot of commentary.
Yeah, it does.
But I think the positive way to think about it is, isn't it cool that this movie's produced by Mattel?
Yeah.
And still, they allowed all of this stuff in there.
Right,
because everything anyone has ever said about Barbie is said.
Yeah,
People talk about her effect on... Well, we didn't say, like, the Barbies who live in Barbie Land think that the real world has no problems.
Yeah, they think that they solved it all.
Right.
Because in Barbie Land, there's, like, everyone on the Supreme Court is female.
Yeah.
There's a female president. Like, the men don't really do much.
Right.
Yeah, and they think that, like, because, you know, Barbie's had so many jobs and she's so, like, pro-feminism that, like, just her influence has made
Fixed the world's problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when Barbie leaves to go to the real world, all the other Barbies are like... It'll be fine. Like, everyone who meets you is going to hug you and say they love you and that you inspired them and thank you.
Yeah.
And then when she gets there, she goes and she meets America Ferrera's daughter because she thinks that's the little girl that she's supposed to see.
Yeah, she keeps seeing visions and it's always America Ferrera and her daughter, but you don't, it's more focused on the daughter, I guess, because
she's younger.
I think you're seeing through America Ferrera's eyes.
So
you're only seeing the daughter.
Right, yeah. And so Barbie thinks it's the daughter who's like a tween. She's in middle school. And she's like a bad girl. She's dressed in black. And
she's mean.
Yeah, she's mean. And like when Barbie walks in, like another girl's like, oh, you can't walk up to her table.
And Barbie's like, but I'm Barbie. Everyone loves me. I'm pretty.
Yeah. And she goes up and like, she's like, it's me, your best friend, your favorite woman of all time, Barbie. And then they're like, we hate Barbies. We haven't played Barbie since we were like 5.
Yeah.
And then the other girl's like, destroy her.
Yeah.
And then she's like, okay, Barbie, let me tell you something. You've brought back the feminist movement 50 years. You do nothing but make women feel bad about their bodies. Like, the fact that Mattel allowed that to be in the movie, I think is...
Incredible.
I don't know if I'm going to give them the credit to say it's, like, strong or brave of them. What I really think happened was they knew that if they made a Barbie movie, they would make a gajillion dollars. Mm-hmm. It was just an IP that has begging to be made. Yeah. And they've wanted to make one for a long time.
Yeah.
And it went through production hell with a bunch of different people. The Amy Schumer one. And then there was a couple other different ones. And I think they were at a point where they were like, where basically anybody could walk in and pitch it to them. And mm-hmm. they'd go, whatever, go, fine, do it. Mm-hmm. And I think Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach, her mm-hmm. creative partner, I don't know if they're actual like romantic partners anymore, but they went in and they were like, this is it. And I think Mattel's just like, whatever, we don't care. Because Will Ferrell is the CEO of Mattel and the whole board is men.
Yeah.
And they're like the bad guys.
Yeah.
But it's Mattel. Mattel is like, they show Mattel and it looks like a dystopian.
Yeah.
It's all dark and stuff.
It's all gray. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like,
they even do like a cut between, was it the CIA or the FBI?
Yeah.
And Mattel, like this, what is
it's
it?
A split screen.
Yeah, between one cubicle and the other, and the government.
Yeah, because the government knows, like, about this whole world of Barbies.
But also the government one is like way more colorful and has like a bunch more stuff. Like the Mattel one is just like plain
gray. It's 1984.
And nothing, there's nothing decorating the cubicle. Like it's just like a computer and a guy and everyone's in gray. But it's just
and
funny.
And matching like...
Yeah, it's funny that the government one has like more vibrancy to it than even the Mattel one.
Yeah, the only thing that looks vibrant Mattel is when they go
into the boardroom.
Yeah, which is like all pink and stuff, but
and
it's all men.
And there's a big heart, like white sculpture. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all men.
But it's all
black.
Men.
Except Will Ferrell, he has a pink.
He has a pink tie
shirt too, I think. Yeah, with a suit, with a
and
black suit.
Yeah, and but even though they're bad guys, they're not like evil bad guys.
No,
they're just
ignorant
to patriarchy.
Yeah, they like think that they know.
Yeah.
Women.
You're right.
Like what girls want.
Yeah. At one point.
No idea.
At one point, he's like, Wolf, I was like, I don't do this for the bottom line. I do this to make little girls' dreams come true in the least creepy way possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So the little girl destroys her. And, but when Ken jumps in her car and follows, like in the back of her car and follows her to the real world. Because mm-hmm. the way you get to the real world is you get into a Barbie car and drive on a pink brick road,
mm-hmm.
which is a Wizard of Oz reference. And then from that, you go into like a bunch of different Barbie vehicles that have existed over time.
A spaceship.
Yeah. And then you end
camper.
Up in, yeah. And then you end up on the beach in the real world in California.
With roller skates.
Yeah.
You can bring your roller skates.
Yeah.
Rollerblades.
So when Barbie's on her little journey, Ken is learning about patriarchy. Because Ken's like... She's like treating Ken like a child. She's like, don't get in trouble. He's like, I won't.
Yeah.
But then he goes around and he sees like men in a gym and he sees men catcalling women. He sees a bunch of business guys and one guy's rude to his
secretary.
Yeah. And Ken's like, oh my God, men rule the world.
Yeah.
He sees like photos of Sylvester
like
Stallone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
Bill Clinton. Yeah. So he's like, oh my God, this world is great. This is, and he tries to like get a job and
a bunch of jobs.
Yeah, and he can't get one
because he's not qualified for anything.
Yeah, he goes to one business guy and he's like, I would like a high paying job with a lot of influence. And he's like, well, most people have MBAs, some have PhDs, and some experience. And he's like, oh, I don't have any of that. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And he's like, huh, I think you guys are doing patriarchy wrong. And he's like, no, we're doing it right. We just have to hide it more now.
Yeah. Also, Ryan Gosling.
Yeah,
I know he was getting like a lot of like criticism because like I mean,
people were,
they have no age, but he is brilliant as Ken.
Yeah,
he is so good. The like, first of all, his face acting alone is
just he's great. Yeah,
perfection. Who knew he could sing? Did we know he could sing? Has he sung
La La
in
Land.
Anything else? All right, I forgot. Oh,
he's
I take that
his
back.
Whole life.
Yeah, who knew? He was in the Mickey Mouse Club. Who knew that he sang?
Yeah.
But whatever. Genius.
He is really good in
so
it.
So good as Ken.
So is Margot Robbie, by the way. I mean, we've
no,
said
no,
it before.
Yeah,
she's incredible.
Everyone's good. But I'm just saying, like, I feel like he got a lot of flack.
Well, there's a lot of ageism, I think.
I know, but he's so good.
But meanwhile, look at his body.
He's so good.
I mean,
yeah.
He does.
Is he much older than
physically
her?
Physically look like Ken.
She's in her 30s.
I don't know how old he is.
Also, how old do people think like Barbie and Ken are? She's had a million careers.
Well, I feel
she's
like
a career woman.
Right.
She's not like 19.
Well, I feel like if this had been done by a different group of filmmakers, it easily could have been like an 18-year-old.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I guess.
But whatever. He's really great and he's really funny in it. I mean, he steals the show in a lot of ways because he's very funny.
Uh-huh.
And his character is just sort of pure comedy. And But I don't want to go past what I think is like maybe my favorite scene, which is Barbie is like sitting on a bus stop and she's like she's closing her eyes and trying to figure out who the little girl is that she's got to see. And she's like seeing these memories of America Ferrera and her daughter. She's crying. And then she looks over and sees this old lady, this little old lady. And she goes, "You're beautiful."
Yeah. In like the most sincere way.
Yeah. And the woman's like, "I know it."
Yeah.
And then they both laugh together. And it's, for a movie that's very over the top, it's a really subtle, sweet moment.
Yeah.
But you realize it's probably the first old woman
she's
ever
seen.
Right, she's
never seen an old, she's never seen anyone age.
Yeah. So she's not being like cute, like she means it. She really looks at her and goes, "You're so beautiful."
Yeah.
But I think she's also realizing that human beings are beautiful.
Right, right.
So she's like growing as a person. That's such a good moment in the movie. It's so good. And it reminded me of my grandma, because my grandma would say that. My grandma would say, "I know it," a lot. So, yeah, that's a really cute scene. And then, so what are they? Oh, they find America Ferrera and her daughter. And what are they bring her back to? Oh, no. First, Will Ferrell tries to put her in a box.
Yeah. He's like, "We got to capture Barbie." And they go on about this, like, isn't the CIA or the FBI?
I believe it's the FBI.
The FBI says something like, it's like Skipper all over again.
Right.
And Skipper apparently made a breakthrough, and she tried to like babysit some kids, and she took
broke
a baby
into someone's
to the beach.
House and tried to babysit their kids.
She tried to take a baby surfing or something.
Yeah.
She doesn't understand, and she's a babysitter. That's what Skipper is.
Right.
Anyway, and they were like, "That's just Skipper. This is Barbie."
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like a real hunt to get Barbie.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so good.
And so they're like, the way to get her back into the Barbie world is to put her in a box. And it's a big Barbie box.
It's the Barbie box that everyone poses in, which is genius.
Yeah. The one that...
The marketing. The one
it's at the Alamos. I don't know if it's anywhere else.
I feel like it is, but I don't know. Maybe not. But yeah, it is at the Alamos.
As a toy collector, the thing that really got me was when she got into the box... You saw those twist tie things go over her hands.
Yeah.
Which is so... Anyone who's ever had a toy knows exactly what they are.
The details.
Yeah,
the
details.
The details are just...
Yeah.
Incredible.
But she doesn't want to be in the box. She runs
away. At first, she's like, "Yeah, okay." But then they start twisting her, and that's when she gets, like,
claustrophobic.
She doesn't want
to be... Yeah. Confined.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she runs away, and they're like... they start running after her.
And that's when she runs into...
Ruth Handler.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. Played by...
Rhea Perlman. Yeah. She's running through Mattel, and she gets into this one room, and you see like this kitchen and a little old lady with tea, and the little old lady gives her tea, and they talk a little bit, and...
She helps her escape.
She helps her escape. And she says, "My name is Ruth."
Yeah.
And we learn later on, she says it's Ruth Handler. She's Ruth Handler, the... At least for Mattel's version of the history, the creator of Barbie. Which in reality is contestable because...
There was
Built Lily, which was the German doll that was like kind of a sex toy doll. Based on a comic strip in the Build magazine that was like she was a sex worker.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, but they took the idea of the doll, and then... Who was the guy, though? There was also a guy who worked on it.
Oh, I forgot.
They call like the father
Jack
of Barbie.
Something.
Jack Ryan.
Yeah, that's it.
Is it Jack Ryan? No, Jack Ryan might be.
Oh. I thought his last name was Ryan.
But I'm thinking, isn't Jack Ryan like the character from Patriot Games? Let's look it up, folks. Jack Ryan. Oh, yeah, you're right. Jack Ryan, America. So Jack Ryan, he brought the idea to her.
Mm-hmm.
So see, little things like that make me see. Mattel's influence.
Yeah. Because he's not in it at all.
Right.
They don't
mention definitely
him at
like,
all.
Our virtual reality is she created Barbie and you can't say anything to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But they do make sly references to the fact that Ruth Handler went to prison.
For tax evasion.
Right. So like she makes a joke at the end. She was like, "I've got some tax problems."
But that's a whole other movie.
She went to jail for 2 years for cooking the books on Mattel. Actually, not on Barbie though, on Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
So the nerd in me after that scene, the nerd in me was like, what if she runs into He-Man? Because He-Man is probably the second biggest thing Mattel's ever done.
Maybe that's behind the locked door. There was a locked door that she didn't go in.
Yeah. And to me, I think it would be cool because He-Man is as influential on like the ideal of gender males as Barbie is for females. So it's like, oh, what if she runs into He-Man? But she doesn't. But
well,
that's
I think the, yeah.
I think Netflix owns He-Man now, so they couldn't do it. And they
but either way, like, that's not the movie.
No, yeah,
the movie is for the girl or, like, the Barbie.
I know. It was just my nerdiness coming
out. No, I know. I'm just saying. Yeah. I think even if they thought about it, I don't know if they, or if they could do it, I don't know if they would, because that's not.
Yeah. Also, in this world, Mattel makes Barbie. They don't make Matchbox cars.
Right, yeah.
They don't show any other toys. Yeah, it's just Barbies. So they take America Ferrara and her daughter.
And she knows Mattel, even from Barbie Land.
Yeah, they know Mattel, yeah.
Yeah, because they come to pick her up and they're like, oh, we're from Mattel. And she's like, oh, Mattel.
Yeah.
I instantly trust you.
Yeah. Yeah, Ken's like, Mattel.
Yeah.
When Ken's figuring out patriarchy and he's like, I will find my fortunes there.
Yeah, it's so good. He keeps bothering this, like, they started a school. So the first, like, person that he runs into is this
mother
and her kid.
Do you know what time it is?
Yeah. She asked me for the time.
And he's, like, struck by it because no one's ever asked him for anything.
Yeah.
He's like, you're asking me?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, what time is it? He also gets into his head that patriarchy is about horses.
Yeah.
That horses and men rule the world.
Yeah. So good.
So he sneaks back into Barbie world without Barbie.
Yeah, but Barbie
then,
land.
Yeah, Barbie land. And then Barbie takes America Ferrera and her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And her daughter's starting to, like,
Come around.
Like, she just to melt a little bit.
Yeah.
And, but when they get to Barbie land, oh no, patriarchy. Ken brought back patriarchy.
Yeah.
And now there's, like, the Kens have taken over their dream houses.
Yeah.
They've got LCD screens everywhere with horses on them.
Yeah.
Footage of horses galloping.
So good.
All the jokes about what makes patriarchy or what makes, like, men, I think is so funny.
Yeah.
Like, the Barbies all become basically hypnotized by patriarchy. America Ferrera says, like, oh, it's like indigenous people with smallpox. Like,
they have no defenses.
Yeah, so Ken introduced some patriarchy into Barbie land and they all immediately got brainwashed.
Yeah.
So they go on, which I think is the funniest sequence, a sequence of they have to kidnap every Barbie and deprogram her back.
Yeah.
But the way they deprogram her back is by just explaining patriarchy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like all
the challenges of being a woman.
Like when the first Barbie comes back around, she's like, oh my God, where am I? I don't know. I was living my normal life, and then all of a sudden, I was really invested in the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League.
That's so good.
So funny. And then, like, they have to, like, basically, like, their operation is, like, they'll go up to a Ken and distract him and then kidnap the Barbie to deprogram her. So, like, there's a Ken watching
The Godfather.
Yeah, and then one of the Barbies like, oh, is this The Godfather? And he's like, you've never seen it? And she's like, yes, can you start it again and explain it the whole time? And he's like, yes, I'd love to. This is the brilliance of Francis Ford Coppola. And so it's just all the stuff. Oh, when they're like, one way to distract Ken is men like to feel like they've discovered your beauty, so wear glasses.
Yeah. And Dr. Barbie.
Dr. Barbie wears glasses, and then Dr. Barbie's like, I'm so ugly, no one likes me. because she's already deprogrammed, but she's part of the operation now.
Yeah.
And then Ken takes off her glasses, like, there, now I can see your beautiful face. So funny.
So good.
You see one of the Kens explaining, in front of, like, a record player, explaining Lou Reed to a woman. Just men explaining things to women. It's so funny. And that's Shuti Gatwa, the new Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is one of the Kens. I think his name... His first name is definitely Shuti. I think his last name is Gatwa. He's very funny in it.
He's great.
All the Kens are really good in it.
Yeah.
So, they have to deprogram.
And then there's the end scene where they're all deprogrammed. And they sing the, what's it called?
Ken?
Yeah. All the Kens are like around a campfire with guitars.
Oh my God.
Singing Matchbox 20's Push.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, like
the big plan is to get them to turn on each other.
Right.
So they all get them to, like, you know, like, take believe out that they're still
be a douchebag and take out an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
And look them in the eyes and play them Matchbox 20 and pretend like they wrote the song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is such an indictment of men. Yeah. It's so funny.
Yeah.
And then they all go leave. Like, I guess every Ken has their own Barbie.
Yeah, they do.
All the Barbies leave their Kens to talk to other Kens.
Yeah.
So,
but it starts with stereotypical Barbie.
Right.
Who's just like super invested in the song and then just like goes on her phone and starts laughing. And Ken's like, who are you texting? And then she ignores him and just keeps laughing. And he's like, who are you texting? And then he looks and he's like, Ken! It's so good. It's so good.
So they start a civil war between the Kens. Because, so much happens in this movie.
That was the thing. The Kens are going to vote to change the constitution so that all the Kens are...
have complete political control of Barbie land.
The whole thing is that they have to deprogram all the Barbies and then get the Kens to turn on each other so that they can't vote. So this is the end part of it.
I've never seen a movie, and this is what I think is extraordinary about this and the fact that little girls are going to see this.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a movie that was such a huge, had a huge marketing push, had mm-hmm. toys behind it, had this huge... has this huge cultural like stamp,
mm-hmm.
But at the same time has so much political shit to say.
Yeah,
I mean it's so liberal. I mean, it's so lefty to the point where it even will criticize itself.
Yeah,
but in this perfect pink plastic package sold to everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's sort of a brilliant like medicine with sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
So they get the Kens. So the Kens fight each other, but they also sing a song.
Oh, they fight each other like in a musical.
Yeah.
Like, what's it called?
It's like a, well, she, I don't know what they call it, but she's.
Like a West Side Story style.
Yes.
At one point. It's so good.
But then there's a point with like in their own like stage world.
Yeah.
Which Greta Gerwig said was inspired by the Broadway melody part of Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
Where like there's that little movie inside the movie.
Yep.
Like, it's just, it just goes into a different thing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And
yeah.
it's incredibly choreographed.
Oh, it's so good.
And they're fighting, and then one was like, wait, weren't we supposed to vote today?
Yeah.
And Ken's like, oh, we were supposed to vote today. And then all the Barbies, vote without them and reclaim the Constitution. And
but I like, even within the song, they start out at odds, and they're like in a full-out war.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the song, he says something like, put your manly hand in mine, and they're just like all like...
holding hands?
Yeah, they're just all back together and friends.
Yeah.
It's so good.
The Barbies take back their dream houses.
Yeah.
President Barbie was played by Issa Rae, who is maybe my favorite other than Margot Robbie.
She's so great.
She's so funny as the president of Barbie Land. She says fuck, but they bleep it,
yeah.
and they put a little Mattel, the little Mattel Starburst logo over her mouth.
Yep.
So they take back their dream houses, and the Kens don't know what to do, and Ken's all freaking out, and then he tries to kiss Barbie, and she's like, no.
They never kiss.
No, she doesn't like him that way.
Yeah, she doesn't. But I don't know if he was advertised as Ken's boyfriend or we've all just collectively made him that way.
But
she always says,
my friend.
You're my buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wonder if that's just how he was sold.
Well, he's kind of like both things. Like he says we're boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
And she accepts that, but also she's like not. Like, she's not committed to him.
She confirms it.
No, and she doesn't seem to like him that way.
No. Yeah, she doesn't.
And then he's like, who am I without you? And she's like, maybe we're not Barbie and Ken. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm Barbie and you're Ken.
Yeah.
So he kind of, his arc is like to find his own uniqueness alone without her.
I like that whole thing where she's like, you're not your girlfriend. You're not, you're out, you're not.
Yeah.
And he's like, beach. And she's like, you're not even beach.
Oh, right. We haven't talked about that.
They all have jobs, right? So like doctor,
or themes,
Dr. Barbie or like whatever. And he's like, my job is beach. Some people think it's lifeguard, but it's not. It's just beach.
Yeah. And when he goes with her to the real world, he's like, what if there's a beach there? You're going to need a professional.
And he tries to get a job at the beach, and the guy's like a lifeguard, and he's like, no, I'm not qualified for that. I'm qualified to stand right here. And he's like, well, if someone needs saving, and he's like, I'm not qualified to save anyone.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Beach.
So And that's basically the end of the movie. They all learn a lesson. Ruth Handler comes out.
Yeah, and she shows her, like, because Barbie's thinking about going back into the real world and aging and becoming a person.
Yeah, she doesn't feel like she belongs in Barbie Land anymore.
Right. And they hold, which is so beautiful. They, like, hold hands.
Yeah.
And you just see, like, a montage of, like,
women's lives. Like, yes. Women and little, like, just the real world of being a woman.
Yeah. And over Billie Eilish's song, which is just like, oh,
yeah.
If you're not crying. Yeah, I don't know what you're doing.
It was deep. And then Barbie chooses it. She chooses to be a real person who will age and die.
Yeah.
But then the last moment, and we've written the whole film for you.
Yeah.
But the last moment is she goes to a gynecologist. Yeah. And she's like, I'm here to see my gynecologist. Because they make the joke earlier on that they don't have genitals.
Right.
So I guess she's grown a vagina now.
Yeah. Well, it's just like a step into...
It's like Pinocchio.
I think it is like Pinocchio, but I think it's also...
Bicentennial Man.
Right. I think it's also what happens. It's the process of playing with Barbie, right?
Right, you become an adult.
You play with Barbie when you're younger, and you, that's something that, I mean, the whole point of it is that something that you want to be and something that you can see yourself in. You can see, and that's why she has so many careers, right? If you want to be a doctor, you can see yourself as Dr. Barbie if you want to see yourself.
Right.
And then kind of when you're done with Barbie worlds, you're going into womanhood.
And America Ferrera at the end, her sort of subplot, it's not that clear, but her subplot is, I think, she wants to be a Barbie designer. Because
She works at Mattel. She works like right outside.
She's Will Ferrell's administrative assistant. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He calls her my words woman.
Yeah.
So she's Will Ferrell's administrative assistant, but like in her free time when she's at her desk, she like draws Barbies.
Yeah.
So she wants to be a Barbie designer.
Right.
And she pitches the idea of like, how about just regular Barbie?
Yeah.
Just Barbie who's wearing a cute top and just wants to get through the day feeling good.
Yeah.
And then Will Ferrell's like, that's a terrible idea. And then another board member's like, actually, that can make money. And he's like, that's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, yeah. Which would be great if they put out regular Barbie.
And we haven't talked about Alan or Midge.
Oh,
let's talk about Alan and Midge.
Alan might be my favorite part of the movie.
I don't I have no recognition of Alan before this.
Well, Alan you wouldn't know unless you're like a Barbie person. Even if you're like a casual Barbie person, you wouldn't know Alan because he was, what?
70s?
70s, I think.
He's older.
His whole thing is that, I guess we have to talk about Midge first. Midge was Barbie's friend, and she was not like... She was more like real looking than Barbie. Yeah. Like Barbie's like the perfection of beauty. Midge is like a real person.
Right.
And she had freckles and she was cute. And then at one point there was a pregnant Midge. But before that,
people did not
they
like
needed,
that.
Right. But before that, I guess every Barbie has to have a Ken. So they made Alan for Midge. And his whole thing was Ken's clothes fit him and he's Ken's buddy.
Ken's buddy, yeah.
Right. But like, before, like, Earring Magic Ken, he was, like, thought to be gay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, Ken's already,
he's
like, kind of queer-coded. Which is genius. I love Michael Cera so much. He's so good as Alan.
And he's always on board with the Barbies, not the Kens.
Yes, he's always with the Barbies.
At one point,
always.
He fights a bunch of Kens.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, who are you? And he's like, I'm Alan.
All Ken's clothes fit me.
Which is so funny. He's quoting the box.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
and no one knows about when Helen Mirren introduces them because, you know, they're all like, hi, Barbie. And then someone's like, hi, Alan. And she's like, that's Alan. There's no duplicates of Alan.
And he's like, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'm confused about that.
Yeah.
There's only one Alan.
And Midge is like, everyone.
Midge is the pregnant because that's Midge everyone knows is
pregnant
Midge. Where she had like a detachable belly. There was like a
baby
in there.
Yeah.
Which is super
the
weird.
Toy didn't last long because people complained.
Yeah, because they weren't married.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I think the weird little like baby in a fetal position is a little weirder.
Yeah, it's very weird. At one point, she's behind Will Ferrell and he like jumps. He's like, ah!
Midge.
Midge.
I thought we discontinued you.
Like he's scared to see her. Like she shocks him.
Anytime we see Midge, they're like, oh, let's not mention Midge. She's been discontinued. Even Lizzo has like a reprise, I guess,
yeah, yeah.
of her song. And Or is it in, whatever, it's in the song on the track. At the very end, she's like, hey, Midge, never mind. It's so good.
Midge.
It's so good. But Alan is a huge part of this movie. Yeah. And
he's so good.
He's so good. Michael Cera is so, like, I've never pictured someone playing Alan, but Michael Cera is so Alan.
It's a part he was born to play.
Oh, he's brilliant. All of NSYNC. Even that one.
Yeah, they were all Alans.
They were all escaped Alans.
Yeah.
And then they're so close to escaping. He's very close to escaping with America Ferrera and her daughter. And then her daughter's like, no, we have to go back and save Barbie. And that's like when the deprogramming starts. But he's like, oh, I'm never getting out. He just wants to leave so bad.
Yeah.
He hates it there.
He's so good. It's such a good movie.
Yeah, it's great. It's so good.
Yeah, the second time I saw it, I soaked it in more. I really loved it. Mm-hmm. But who cares if I like it or not? And that's the point.
Yeah.
Because it's not for me. And we should say a little bit about the screenings we saw. Mm. We went to...
We went Thursday to a Barbie party.
Yeah, at Alamo. And everyone there was dressed up.
Everybody. And it was packed. I've never seen a movie sell out at our Staten Island Alamo. They sell it all the time in the city in Brooklyn. But I've never seen a movie sell out at our... This one was sold out.
Yeah. Everybody was dressed in pink.
Everybody. And everyone was hyped.
Yeah.
Oh, everyone was so freaking excited.
It was amazing. What's going to happen is this. It's going to be like what happened with Bridesmaids. This is going to make a lot of money. And then Hollywood's going to be like, oh, wait, there are women? Let's make movies about women. And then they'll do that until one fails. And they'll be like, I guess no one likes women anymore. Yeah, and then they'll stop until they relearn the lesson again.
Right.
Which, by the way, if they make a movie that fails with men in it, they never go, oh, I guess people don't like men.
Right.
But this movie, because of the difference in the tones, obviously, and the fact that they came out the same day, this movie is linked with Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
But it's already made so much more money than Oppenheimer.
You bet.
And it's just, I think it's on track to make a lot of money. And they'll probably want to make another one. But I don't see what you can do.
I almost don't want them to make another one.
Neither do I.
But yeah. I mean, I'd go see another one.
But they also, apparently Mattel wants to get into movies now with their IP. So they've got something like a crazy amount of other toys they want to turn into movies.
I mean, that's fine. That's fine.
Which is like, the He-Man one is already happening or has been happening.
Oh.
And then I guess Matchbox cars. I don't know what else you could do.
Barbie.
You do see Skipper once in this movie. Skipper doesn't have a big part. She just waves to her.
I really wish they'd done.
Babysitter Skipper?
No. Teen Skipper.
Yeah.
Teen Skipper is my favorite. First of all, she's dressed like super like, was she late 90s, early 2000s? She's got like a, she's kind of got the style that we have going on now where it's like a crop top and like jeans.
Yeah.
And a see-through bag, which I had one of those. I love her so much. I also like, I mean, she's still not realistic looking. She's like super tall and slender, but like her boobs are a little smaller and I was like, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
We need that.
Yeah.
We need that influence. And her hair is like pink and purple, which might be where my hair obsession has started now that I think about it.
This movie also ignores the development that happened not that long ago where they started making Barbie with better proportions, more realistic proportions.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they ignore it, though.
Oh, it's because she's stereotypical. The other ones are
stereotypical.
More...
Yeah, right, but there's a bunch of diversity in the cast.
There's a big Barbie.
Yeah. There's
trans Barbie.
Yeah.
Or trans actress.
There's
playing
a Barbie,
Barbie
in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
All the Kens are of different ethnicities.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I don't think they ignored it.
I think
they just didn't like mention it outright.
Right. They made it star stereotypical Barbie.
Right.
The Barbie you think of when you think of Barbies.
Right. Right.
So on a scale of 1 to 10 midges.
1 to 10 pregnant midges.
Yeah.
It's an 11.
Okay.
I love it so much. I love it so much. I think it's just every time we've only seen it twice. But like
we'll see it more.
Yeah. Every time we've seen it. it's gotten more depth. And I think I just like it's also like just gorgeous to look at.
Yeah. I hope little girls and little boys like it.
I hope little girls and boys are going to see it because it's rated PG-13.
Right.
So I hope that's not like discouraging some parents.
Yeah.
We saw some girls though.
Yeah.
One girl came in our aisle with the Margot Robbie Barbie, which is really cute.
Yeah.
She brought it with her to see it.
Yeah.
It's really cute. Yeah, I hope so too.
Do you ever get like at work, like we go to the movies a lot, and sometimes people at work can be like, what did you do this weekend? And I don't want to say that I've seen a movie for the third time because I'm embarrassed because I'd be like, what do you mean you saw it again?
No, I say it, but okay, they're like, oh, that's so Jen. They just laugh me off.
Well, this has been PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I was joined today by Jennifer Grace Littrell.
Hi.
We come out every single Wednesday for now until the end of time. We end every episode by saying,
I'm just Jen. Go bye-bye.